I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're pleased to welcome longtime Raiders front office executive, first female CEO in NFL history, and of course she's an author as well, now part of the CBS Sports family as a football analyst, Amy Trask, joining us from Southern California. And Amy, here we are. We're 5 weeks in. There have been some obstacles. We've seen teams face some major hurdles. But overall, as you look at it through the business brain that you've got, what are your impressions about the first 5 weeks of the season?
Well, you made a great point, which is there have been some hurdles, but they're being addressed. And these are business challenges. And the reason I note that, Aim, is there are a lot of people right now that have real, real challenges and real, real hardships that go to core elements of their lives. So are there challenges that the NFL is facing? Absolutely. But these are business challenges and they can be addressed as long as people understand they're going to have to be adaptive and they're going to have to be flexible. And if they face these challenges and adapt with creativity and ingenuity, good things can happen.
If you were still in a front office working for Al Davis, so with the Raiders, you have an owner who's got high standards, you have a team, you know, more than 100 guys when you consider all of the coaching staff and the players, how much extra stress do you think this would add to every day have to not only get tested, but then wait, I imagine with some anxiety, until the tests all come back negative?
Well, and you're absolutely right. It's well over 100 people when you look at the organization and you include players and practice squad, which, of course, has been increased now, and coaches. Most teams now have well over 20 coaches when you count all the assistants. And there's trainers and there's doctors and there's video guys and equipment guys. It's well over 100, approaching 200. So are there added stresses and are there added challenges, both logistical and financial? Of course they are, but those aren't life stresses like losing one's job and not being able to feed one's family, or trying to maintain one's job while homeschooling one's children. And the reason I note this is you referenced Al Davis, and I believe he would have kept it in perspective as you and I are talking about right now. There are challenges, and then there are real challenges.
Oh my gosh, perspective in 2020 is probably the most valuable tool when you recognize that there's so much that we can still be thankful for. Amy Trask is a longtime Raiders front office executive, served as CEO, and Al Davis, of course, is the man that taught her so much of what she knows, which is always great to get her insight. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So in the middle of a season, how disruptive is it to not be in your facilities for almost 2 weeks?
Well, it certainly didn't hurt the Titans, did it? And I'm saying that somewhat tongue-in-cheek, because, of course, it is a challenge as well. But the fact is, they were disrupted in terms of their routine more than any other team. Now, perhaps the fact that they weren't practicing and they weren't in the facility and they were doing everything by Zoom gave them the ability to sort of reinvigorate themselves, regenerate, rejuvenate. And they also went into the game with a bit of an edge and a chip on their shoulder because they felt that they had been unfairly singled out. And whether they were or not, They felt unfairly singled out for virus protocol breaches, if you will. So maybe you combined a little bit of rest with a chip on the shoulder, but that 2 weeks off didn't hurt them last night.
I've been really excited to talk to you as we've seen a couple of teams make coaching changes. And I can only imagine this is really difficult for an owner, for a CEO, front office to know when is the right time. So what factors do you consider, Amy, when you're making a coaching change, especially when it's in season?
Well, there's business factors to consider. If you cut a coach with time remaining on his contract, and if that coach doesn't sign somewhere else such that there's an offset, you will owe the coach the money remaining on the contract. Again, assuming no offset, that can be a very large number. So the team first has to consider, can it handle that from a financial standpoint? Does it have the ability to pay two coaches at the same time? And then there are other consequences associated with it. You know, I always ask this question, and do what? When a team is going to make a coaching change and fire a coach, it needs to ask itself, and do what? Do we have a better answer? Now, maybe the team will say the better answer is anyone else, anybody but this guy. But if you can't answer that question with an answer that's better than the status quo, then what are you doing?
It's funny that you say that, because people come to me about, oh, this quarterback needs to be benched, that quarterback needs to be benched. And I always say, it's the devil you know, the devil you don't know. You know, you get rid of one quarterback, who steps into his place? Are you sure you have a replacement?
You know, you and me both, because I remember there were years I spent with the team where we had quarterbacks from time to time that the fans just didn't like. And I remember fans yelling to me, not in a nasty way, but, you know, sort of shouting out to me when I'd walk by, Amy, cut the quarterback. And I'm thinking, first of all, okay, that would be Al you need to be talking to. But beyond that, I would look at the fans and I would say, and do what? What's your solution? If we do what you say, and do what? Who plays? Because you got to be able to answer that question. And if the answer to the question isn't better than the status quo, what are you doing?
When we talk about players then, Amy, so that's a coach, right? We're talking about the leadership and the voice, and in the case of the Texans and the Falcons, certainly the losing came into play royally. When you have a player who is asking to go somewhere else, is asking to be traded, is asking out of his contract, just wants out, period, and what are the same thing? What are the factors that you're considering when you decide, okay, in the middle of the season, we're going to cut this guy?
Again, a lot of considerations. Financial. If we cut him and he doesn't sign somewhere else, how much do we owe him? Can we afford that? Because if we sign someone to replace him and this guy doesn't get an offset, we're paying two players in full. That's if there's any money owed on a guaranteed basis. And certainly with veterans, you've got the vested amount from the time game one is played and you've got guarantees, et cetera, et cetera. Without digging into too much detail on that, you may owe him money if there's no offset. Then you have to sign someone else if you want to replace them. And then there's the cap to consider. Can you jiggle and juggle the cap? You will have people in an organization when there's a player who is perceived as a problem who are advocating, it doesn't matter, he needs to be gone, he needs to be gone. And you'll have other voices in the organization saying, okay, wait, but whoa, we've got to think about these business concerns, cash and cap.
You know, it's interesting because obviously if there's a really talented player, he generally will find another job and another job. But we got a couple of guys out there, Earl Thomas being one, who a couple of different locker rooms full of his peers have indicated that's not a player that we want here. That's not a player that will fit. Then you think about Le'Veon Bell and what he left in his wake in Pittsburgh. And the Jets are, they're a mess right now anyway. But you kind of wonder at what point do these players wear out their welcome, where they're just not worth the effort anymore.
Well, and, you know, there's always the mentality in a team. Well, I know. He was a problem somewhere else, or they didn't get things right somewhere else, but we can handle it. And teams do that all the time. They think that just because there was an issue with a player and another team or two more teams or three other teams, we can do this. They always want to think, and look, I know this from experience. You think, well, we can handle what another team didn't, even if, you know, it looks like this has been a problem in many, many places. The fact is, teams between now and the end of the season are going to suffer injuries at any number of positions. And when those injuries start, you know, racking up, they may look to Earl or to Le'Veon or to any other player who's not signed. So I don't know that the final chapter has been written for this season for those players.
She's a former CEO of the Raiders and now an analyst with CBS Sports. You can catch her on weekends at a couple of different pregame shows, which is always fun. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio with Amy Trask. From the business side, are teams at this point starting to think about 2021 when we know the revenues, the lost revenue from this season will come into play, and when things may change in terms of how they've been able to do business in the past, just like it's been for almost every industry in our country?
Right, and the answer is we don't know when things are going to go back to normal, some sort of normal, a new normal. Mm. So my understanding and my belief is they're preparing for all sorts of contingencies. When can fans be back in the stands in full? Even when they're allowed back in full, full capacity, that is, will fans feel comfortable coming back? There's any number of issues. And what I understand and believe the league and teams to be doing is parallel planning for all contingencies. Well, here's what we'll do if circumstance A exists or circumstance B exists or circumstance C exists. They're going to have parallel plans, because we don't know yet what the future holds in terms of timing.
So to that end, as a CEO, would you be a lot more cautious about handing out big deals or negotiating with players who maybe do still have a year left on their contracts?
I think caution is very important. And remember, this all has to be worked out with the Players Association. One of the things that has been very nice to see throughout this is it appears, and I understand that it is the case, that the league and the Players Association are working together cooperatively and collaboratively, recognizing that this is a problem that we all, meaning the players, the team owners, the league itself, team executives, coaches, we all need to solve this together. And this shouldn't be about league versus union. This should be league and union working to solve it together. And it appears that that's what's happening. That's going to become a big deal, because the cap for next year is going to have to be addressed given how much the revenues are down this year.
I got to tell you, that really impresses me, Amy. And considering that it's been a few years of maybe some friction between Damaris Smith, the union, and Roger Goodell and the owners, and they've kind of butted heads on a bunch of pretty key issues. And then you think about what baseball went through in 2020 and how brutal that public negotiation was. It's really impressive the way that they've decided to put aside differences to make sure this season takes place.
It really is heartening, Amy. It's heartening in a business from a business standpoint. It's heartening from just a sort of a societal standpoint. And, you know, you talk again about perspective. I believe that the league and the Players Association are both keeping any number of matters in perspective. You know, Dame Lillard had a great quote a couple years ago when he was asked after a game about the expectations and the pressure on him. And Lillard's response was, pressure? This is playing ball. And he went on to talk about pressure is the homeless man who doesn't know where his next meal is coming from. It's the single mom who's trying to scuffle and pay rent. And he went on to say, we get paid a lot of money to play a game. So, yeah, there's challenges. And he differentiated those sorts of challenges from life pressures. And that is perspective. And I think a lot of people associated with the game are keeping things in perspective. Bill Belichick has articulated something very similar. Vic Fangio has,
yes.
And it's nice to see.
I was just about to mention that, Coach Fangio putting it in a bit of a humorous way, but we're going to find out who the bitchers and the whiners are and who the complainers are, and I don't want our team to be in that category.
Well said by him.
Amy Trask with us here After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. All right, so looking at what we see in the first 5 weeks, what are a few football storylines that jump out at you?
Well, I'm enjoying watching what Cleveland is doing. Baker Mayfield, third year in the league. He's on his fourth head coach, if you include the interim head coach he had for a bit of time. And why not include that? That's four head coaches in 3 years. We don't yet know what he's capable of doing in the league, and I've got my eye on Cleveland because that's very exciting to watch. You mentioned a team earlier that's sort of head-scratching at the moment, and maybe more than the moment, the Jets. That's going to be interesting to watch that as the season goes on. As you noted, there have already been two head coaches fired. We'll see if there will be more. I thought the game between the Titans and the Bills was fascinating. Were people overrating the Bills? Were they underrating the Titans? Was that a one-off explosion by the Titans, or we see more of that when they face the Texans this week? There's umpteen really good storylines around the league. We saw, I almost said Oakland. I think I should put a dollar in a jar every time I do that.
Me too.
Right. We saw Las Vegas go into Kansas City and knock off the Chiefs decisively. And they've got a powerful combination in Las Vegas, which is a pass protection that is giving Derek Carr a tremendous amount of time with weapons that are very, very, very speedy. And pass protection plus speed is a dangerous combination. And then there's stories that are sort of head-scratching. The Cowboys, prior to Dak going down, were puzzling, and now we'll see what happens there. I just think here's a really good football term for you. Delicious stories all around the league.
Oh, my goodness. I like to use the term smorgasbord, so I think we're on the same page when it comes to, like, food.
I use delicious.
So, Amy, you mentioned the Raiders. What emotions have you felt or experienced seeing them in Vegas, hearing the name Las Vegas Raiders, and seeing that brand-new stadium?
Well, mixed emotions, and they're not mutually exclusive. The stadium is magnificent, and that's terrific. And for the fans that are excited about the move and are following the team to Las Vegas and love the move, I'm excited for them. And for fans who are heartbroken by the move and are not following the team, in other words, they're saying done, I'm heartbroken for them. And it's, you know, people want to think that it's mutually exclusive to feel for the fans who are sad and be happy for the fans who are happy, but it's not mutually exclusive.
Mm. I had someone make an interesting point to me about how not having the media distraction actually is a benefit. Now, you're part of the media now, but you were also in a front office with the Raiders for years and years. Do you think that there's some truth to that, that not having any media access actually helps teams?
It's an interesting question, a very interesting question. I think it will help some teams more than others because there are more media moments for some teams, more demands on time. And those aren't, you know, that's not intended as a negative or a complaint. It's just that there's more media attention on some teams than others. So your point is well taken. It may help those teams even more than it helps others. It also depends on the makeup and the character of the people with each team as to whether or not they perceived it to be a distraction.
True. Some teams are better equipped to handle it, and they give you the company line. You don't have to worry about them getting off that beaten path. All right, Amy. So this is a total non-football question, but I've been dying to ask you now for a couple of hours. Where did you get that photo of the seals that you posted on Twitter not that long ago?
Oh, not too far from here. On a harbor, like just on a rocky point right where the ocean meets a bay.
Oh, my gosh. They were sunning themselves. They looked so happy.
Oh, and that wasn't all of them. There were about five or six of them sunning themselves. They were chattering, you know, the whole seal bark chatter thing.
Yes.
And then there were seals in the water that were popping up, and there were, like, they were going on and going up. It was just great. And there was a whole crowd gathering because we were just enjoying these seals that were enjoying life. It was a nice moment of relaxation.
Now, see, that would have filled me with total joy. For sure. I feel like that's one of the good things about Twitter and social media is that we get to see pictures of animals.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, doing TV from our homes now and doing Zooms from our homes and conferences, I love it when a cat or a dog interrupts. I love it when cats are photobombing and dogs are jumping up. It makes it much, much more fun.
I'm not sure if you know this, but my cat became a radio star. She's very vocal. And so when I was doing my show from home, she was sitting on the arm of my chair. As much as I tried to get rid of her, it didn't work. And all I had to do was say her name, and she just meowed. And so she had the stage to herself. And now listeners believe she should be part of the show.
I love that. And one of our four-legged loves has done quite a bit of photobombing herself. And I think she's looking for an agent.
Nothing will ever be the same after 2020. You can find Amy on Twitter at Amy Trask. So you can see her on CBS and CBS Sports HQ talking about the NFL season. Of course, has the history with the Raiders, first female CEO in the NFL. And she's got her book, too, You Negotiate Like a Girl. It's always good to have you on the show, Amy. Thanks so much for making time for us.
Absolutely. My pleasure to join you. I love the opportunity to do so. Thanks for having me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.